Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Teddy J. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Also, leave us a tape grenade, a message, and we play it here in probably about like 30 minutes. Over there on the Odyssey app, press a little microphone, leave it for us to play it. I just want to read this straight so you know that I'm not putting it through any filter and that I am not trying to steer anything in one way or the other. But I was thinking about it, how all these people have been saying F. Brady after, you know, there was a rumor that he helped the Seahawks get inside information to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. There was the whole thing, I've got no dog in this fight with the Super Bowl. And then there was, I would never lose to New England. I was thinking, is Tom Brady still the most beloved athlete in New England? Or, you know, from New England. And not the best, the most beloved. And, you know, there's people saying, of course he is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm telling you, I'm going to read this straight from what I've got here. It's first one. F. Brady. Second one. It's Bird, Pedro, Poppy, and then Brady. Then someone says, Brady owns a different team, and Bird worked for the Pacers. Then someone said, Jason Veritek, Jules, Edelman, and Gronk. All true Bostonians. Then they say, TJ represents F. Brady. I vote Ortiz. Ray Bourque is the most beloved. They said, I went to Brady night, too. Since then, he's done more to burn the bridge. He's such a D-bag now. Brady is closer to Schilling than he is to Ortiz.
Oh, man.
That is, come on.
These past 2 years, man, I'm telling you, it's been bad.
Ortiz, 100%, still ride or die for Boston. Duh, Yankees lose. Big Poppy's speech after the marathon bombing cemented him as the most beloved. I mean, I'm telling you, number three, Brady. Number two, Poppy. And then there was the number one, Ted Effing Johnson. But I'm telling you, this is something that I was just thinking about. Like, has he pissed off enough people around here that he's no longer the most beloved? Who knows? And it's kind of a stupid question, but it just...
That's a great question, and perfect for this time of the year in sports talk radio. Now, can I put this poll up? Is Tom Brady still the most beloved former athlete in New England? And the answer, the choices will be, yes, Tom Brady. Second choice, Ortiz or Pedro. Third choice, Bird. Fourth choice, Gronk or Edelman.
Okay.
Because I want to get those names in.
Those seem to be the biggest ones?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll see how that runs.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. It is time to take on a gentleman who I have learned in this period of time that I have spent with him knows a lot about a lot of things. Like, he truly is like a Ken Jennings of sports talk radio. And so let's do Ken versus everybody, shall we? All right, let us go to, who should I go with? Caller
Wait,
one
am
or
I, am I leaving?
No, you stay here for
I'm
a second.
Staying, all right.
Let's go to Rob on line two. Rob, what is going on, my man?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Rob.
Also, 234s in my heart. Paul Pierce, David Ortiz. I can't believe he didn't choose Paul Pierce, but both 34s are in my heart.
There we go. Good. Love it. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you could put Paul Pierce on there as well. No question. I think my choice is Gronk. Gronk's always been my favorite, I think, since he's been here, and I think that Gronk is a dude who has no reason to continue to come back. He doesn't live here, but the guy still, like, does stuff with his charity. He goes down to the Esplanade. He's built, like, a playground. He donates weights to high schools and things like that. God bless him. So, yeah, I would pick him over Brady, sure, without a question. All right, so, Rob, first let's get Ken, you out of the room. All right. So, Rob, do you know how this works?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to ask you five questions about a random topic, and if you can get more than Mr. Ken Laird correct, then you, sir, win all of the glory. No prize, just bragging rights. So I will give you the category. Ken, is he in a soundproof room? All right.
He is, yep.
Ken is indeed on the other room. Rob, your category is songs about sports.
All right, let's do it.
You have 5 seconds to answer each question, and we will start now. Number one, what song by John Fogerty has been played at almost every Major League Baseball game for the last 40 years? Rob, I need an answer.
Don't got one.
Okay. Number two. Which rapper bragged about his basketball skills when he said, get me on the court and I'm trouble, last week effed around and got a triple-double?
Yeah, damn. Drake.
Good guess, but no. Number three, the Beastie Boys in their song Sure Shot said they've got mad hits like they were which Hall of Fame baseball player?
Can you repeat?
The Beastie Boys and their song Sure Shot say that they've got mad hits like they were which Hall of Fame baseball player?
Pete Rose.
That's a good guess, no. Number four, in 1986, the Chicago Bears not only kicked the Patriots' ass in the Super Bowl, but they became megastars thanks to MTV and what music video?
God, why didn't you give me the category from yesterday? I don't have an answer. Sorry.
Oh, man. All right. Well, then you ain't going to get number five. What was New England's downright embarrassing musical response to that Chicago Bears rock video?
Tom Brady's still the GOAT.
Unfortunately, no. All right. You went over. You went over. All right. Let's bring in Ken. Stiz, how many of those did you get? Oh, Stiz, you bring in Ken. Stiz, how many of those did you know out of the five?
I think one.
You knew one of those five?
Yeah, I almost went 0 for 2.
Oh, man. Ken, you may not get all these, but the guy got 0 for.
Oh, 0.
What's he got 0. Your category is, and yesterday you were perfect, right? 5 for 5?
No, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, okay.
I missed the Jay Cutler.
Your category is songs about sports.
Songs about sports.
You ready? Number one, what song by John Fogerty has been played in almost
Centerfield.
There you go. Number two. Which rapper bragged about his basketball skills when he said, "Get me on the court and I'm trouble"? Last week, effed around and got
Ice Cube.
Dude, of course. Number three, in the Beastie Boys, in their song Sure Shot, they say that they've got mad hits like they were which Hall of Fame baseball player?
Willie Mays.
It's Rod Carew. Got mad hits like they were Rod Carew. At number four, in 1986, the Chicago Bears not only kicked the Patriots' ass in the Super Bowl, but they became megastars thanks to MTV and what music video?
Super Bowl Shuffle.
That is correct. And number five, what was New England's downright embarrassing musical response to that Chicago Bears rock video?
It's New England, we blah, blah, blah. Don't remember the response. I don't know.
Since, do we give it to him?
He knows
New
what
England,
it is.
We, us versus, no, what was it?
We're going to say no. It's New England, the Patriots, and we.
Yeah,
but nonetheless,
right.
You, sir, are still undefeated.
Oh, good. Well, that was easy.
Hey, what happened to our caller? I wanted to humiliate him a little bit. I think he's gone.
Was he depressed? Or was he, what?
No, this is not him. This is not him. All right. So there you go. You're two for undefeated right now.
Now, both of those were sports themed, so that's kind of, is that unfair or no? I thought maybe you were going to get me with, like, you know, politics or something. Go random.
No, I'm not going to go. I'll take a left turn next time. I will.
Well, you don't have to. I'm just curious. I don't know how this game goes.
I just love how you straight up got Ice Cube without even thinking about
it. Of course. Like, that's one of my songs.
Last week, messed around and got a triple double.
Do you know all the words of that one?
Well, yeah. I mean, some of them you can't say.
Sure. Of course.
I did some of the lyrics. That was one of the early episodes of the show.
By the way, the New England, the Patriots, and we. Honestly, it's one of the all-time most embarrassing responses.
Get up in the morning, gotta thank God.
Hang on.
I don't know what today. Oh, that's messed up. It's kind of odd. No smog. Mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out.
I mean, Ice Cube, that's like the anthem of my youth.
Is it really?
Yeah, of course.
He spoke to you.
How did Rob not get that one? And he was so confident coming in. He was like, Ken's going down. 100%. Like, don't even question it. Put your money on me.
Listen, in fairness, the stress of coming on here and, you know, having to go face-to-face with the all-time great. I mean, he is undefeated. Somebody said your listeners are idiots.
Yeah.
No, come on.
Thank God, yeah.
There is pressure. There is. You come on the show, and it is intimidating. It's quick. You got to answer. You're hearing these things over the phone. So it's a good Lord, that person was not very good. Oh, come on, man. You're going to go 0 for every once in a while. I can't believe he missed center field.
No, center field, God.
Like, you knew that, right, Stiz?
I did not.
You didn't know John Fogerty put me in, coach, I'm ready to play?
Nope.
It's been at every baseball game.
He's touring. He's coming to Boston with Steve Winwood. I was tempted to buy tickets to that. I mean, it's a geriatric show again, for sure.
Maybe Mike Reese will go with you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Jackson. Maybe Jackson and I. Well, you guys went last night, didn't invite us, so maybe Jackson and I will go to a rock show.
I didn't. I got an invite from somebody here to go to the Paranormal Activity thing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
New England, the Patriots, and we'll strip
them
bare. Just wait and see.
Okay. It's so bad. I think it was. So that. The Super Bowl Shuffle was a hit. Like, it was a huge hit on MTV, and I think it was the V66 people. It's like, we're going to give a response. And it was awful. It was like 9 minutes long, too. They thought that was going to get played. It got played on MTV like once, and they're like, nope, never.
Should I have gotten Sure Shot? I know that song pretty well, but I don't remember that reference.
Because I got mad hits like I was Rod Carew. Yeah, it's that's a big song of theirs, I guess. Christian Arcand said, went 5 for 5. I was screaming at my radio. I'm telling you, Arcand's would be good at this, too.
Arcand's a good trivia.
Yeah,
he is, without a question. All right, 617-779-7937. We got some interesting inside information about Roman Anthony today. I got to be honest, that was one of the more interesting calls that we've gotten about what might be going on behind the scenes with the whole Roman Anthony situation. We will get to that and so much more in just 2 minutes. Be right back. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, undefeated Ken Laird.
Thank you.
And Ted Johnson. Someone said they should have just awarded the Bears the Super Bowl after that Patriots response. Well, they essentially did. That was a pretty embarrassing night.
I was more interested in that age. The Bud Bowl was hot then. You remember watching Bud Bowl 1 and 2? And
Was that
the freezer instead of the fridge?
I remember the Bud Bowl. The Bud Bowl was all right. I remember they were...
The hell was that?
The Bud Bowl...
It was a great commercial.
Dude, when you think about it, it was the stupidest thing ever. They had their own halftime, and it was Budweiser versus Bud Light, and they battled each other in a football game.
Yeah.
Talk about great advertising. You got us to watch something that stupid and get excited
about it.
It was awesome,
and the freezer got hit, and he turned around and ran into the wrong end zone, and it like won the game for Bud Light or whichever the other beer was. As a kid, I was like, yeah!
There's been a few situations, Stiz, where I don't know, you might not remember any of these, but that people would promote something going on at halftime, so you would turn the station and you'd watch it, or it would be on during it. I remember In Living Color, when that was big, when it was the weigh-ins and Jim Carrey, they had a halftime thing. There was the Lingerie Bowl when they came out. Like, hey, turn over during like halftime and watch the Lingerie Bowl.
Well, I Googled this yesterday when we were talking about halftime performances, who was the best, and that's what they said, that there was the In Living Color thing. A lot of people switched over, so they were like, all right, how do we stop that? That's when they brought in Michael Jackson. That's when it becomes like a thing.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so that was one thing led to the next. Yeah. And now, you know, Maroon 5 and the Black Eyed Peas are keeping
the
channels.
Bad Bunny was good. Yep. By the way, early returns on our poll. Is Tom Brady still the most beloved former athlete in New England at the WEI Twitter account? Ortiz or Pedro is leading the way, 45% of the vote, then Brady second, then Bird. Nothing for Gronk or Edelman yet, but it is early, and some complaints that Bobby Orr should be on the list.
Bobby Orr is a worthy one, but I don't think enough to win that. And we're just judging from the responses that we got before. It's an interesting conversation. All right, so a Roman Anthony, we all know what's going on with him right now. He has been sent down to Florida because things just aren't getting better with his hand. I personally think that Chad Tracy may have had something to do with it. It seems like he's doing a pretty good job keeping a positive environment around this team to the point where, you know, as I said, give him a lot of credit because they had every reason to give up, throw in the towel. You know, you see this happen with teams that are so far down in the standings. They just stop trying. They turn on each other sometimes. And that hasn't happened. And I do like, obviously, that they're still playing their ass off. And now they've worked their way up to a point where they are a half game out of a wild card spot. And now it looks like they are probably going to buy at the trade deadline, if you believe the stuff that we've been hearing. We had Bob Nightingale from USA Today on. He thinks it's going to be a half measure, but he doesn't think it's because the Red Sox aren't trying. It's just because there aren't a lot of huge names that are going to be available because there's so many teams that are still in it.
Now, let me ask you this real quick aside. If they get swept by the Rays, 0-4, Monday, should they still be buyers? Is this series enough to sway you one way or the other?
It's a great question because, I mean, it's so detrimental. I mean, you know, it being in your division. If they get swept, yeah, you kind of got to step back. But the one thing that is good news is that before the trade deadline, I keep talking about it being like a barbell of teams that you're playing. You've got, you know, the Rays, which are obviously a very, very good team. Mm-hmm. They're at the very beginning of it. And then I believe after that, Baltimore. It goes Baltimore, who aren't very good. Then 3 against Toronto, not very good. And then you've got 4 against the Athletics, not very good. But then you go Dodgers. And it's Dodgers and White Sox at the end of it. So if you take all of those games together, it's just a little over a 500 record if you compile all of them. So do you give up after if you get swept by the Rays? It's not a good look, but I still think you have time to wait and see what this team can do. No, that'll be a moral kick in the nuts if they lose.
Separate quick aside, Bradford was on with Jones and Keefe today and said he thinks Trevor Story could be back soon. Like he'll be back and he could be back in this homestand. Like,
yeah.
And that's a big lift, baby, if he's playing well.
Sure. Yeah, without a question. He believes out of all the guys that are out, he would be the first one to return, right? It was him before Mayer? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. So the one thing that I find very interesting is when you have a relative or a close friend of a player who speaks to the media, because it usually most of the time means that that's truly what the player thinks. And you know, we've heard this with Tom Brady's dad, damn right, and so many other different people who are close. There is a gentleman who called this morning to the Greg Hill Show, and I guess he's done it before. Mm-hmm. His name is Baseball Brett.
Frequent caller, friend of the show.
Frequent caller, friend of the show, and it's somebody that Ken can vouch for, because when you guys went down to spring training, he was with the team, not like an employee of the team, but was on the other side of the rope. Yeah. He's close to the players. He's close to Roman Anthony. And he called in and wanted to clarify a few things, speaking for himself. He does not go on the record as saying this is what Roman Anthony thinks. He's speaking for himself. However, I do believe that when he says these things, it's most likely because his friend is thinking these things, that being Roman Anthony. That's what I think, that he has not said that. He has not gone on the record. But one of the first things he said is that this impression of Roman Anthony being a party boy and being out and late at night and, you know, getting banged up and stuff like that is not fair. I agree with that because I can't imagine what it's like to be somebody who, wherever you go, everyone's taking pictures of you and trying to get clicks and trying to get people to talk bad at you. Let's say you're at a restaurant and you have a drink in your hand. All of a sudden, everybody gets a picture of you, and it's like, look at this guy, he's drunk.
And to be fair, we haven't really seen pictures of that, have we? I mean, he's been, like, filmed walking in the seaport, but not, like, pictures of him bombed. Or,
no.
You know, there's been nothing.
No, and, like, even if you saw a picture of him bombed and you didn't know where it was or when it was, that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
That could be him at a birthday party during the off season. We don't know what's going on. So I do think that is unfair. But there are some things that I think are absolutely on the table, and that is the situation between him and the organization. The way they misclassified his injury, how they've been handling him, the way that it seems, the way that they sent him down to Florida months into his rehab, the way it's being classified as almost punitive by the people who report on the team. Yeah, it's that part of it's weird. And that was the part that I thought was the most interesting this morning when Greg Hill and Curtis and all the other guys and Wiggy, they ended up asking Baseball Brett, who is very close. Once again, now that I kind of know who this person is, I don't know exactly who he is, but I know how close he is to the team. You know, I take his word here. So let's take a listen. Here's what he had to say about what's going on with Roman Anthony.
But isn't your issue, Brett, more with the organization than it is with the media? Like, they did everything they could to throw him under a bus.
1,000%. The problem was after 30 games, Roman got hurt, and the roster construction was so poor going into the season, and they surrounded him with absolutely zero help at that point in the season. They had to try to rush him back. He's a 21-year-old kid. They're trying to rush him back. Sam wants to sell tickets. Craig wants to save his job because if he doesn't, he's going to get fired. So they're trying to rush the kid back. If they had just said what the Yankees said with Aaron Judge, he's out for 8 weeks. He's done for 8 weeks. When his rib is healed, he'll be back. The Pittsburgh Pirates, and no one cares about the Pittsburgh Pirates, but Connor Griffin, the 21-year-old superstar phenom, who signed a deal just like Roman, hurt his finger, very similar to Roman. They said he's out for 8 to 10 weeks. They didn't say, hey, we're going to put his DL stint back to retroactive to when he got hurt, and we're going to try to, you know, get this thing going here in a few days. They automatically came out, Curtis, and they assessed the situation, and they said he's out for, if they had just said he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, I think this changes the narrative. And I think the same thing's going on with Garrett Crochet, where they came in and they said Garrett Crochet is out for however long, right? And no one cares that Garrett Crochet is going out and doing Sam Adams, like he's doing a tour of bars tonight with Sam Adams.
Okay, stop for a second. I don't like that. Like, that's the one thing I don't like.
It's just Brett's opinion.
I know it's Brett's opinion, but I also, because it sounds to me as if, like, they're throwing Garrett Crochet under the bus.
That Brett is?
A little bit, yeah. Like, I don't like that because the one thing you can do is if you're a player and you want a message out there, you can absolutely go against management. And you know what? And Roman has actually a really good case.
Yes, he does.
And most people would be on Roman's
side.
Well,
to the point where Sam Kennedy already apologized for his, you know.
Exactly.
How he described the injury at first.
But you can't go after your teammates. And the way that at the beginning, too.
Well, Brett's not his teammate.
I know, but. And Brett seems like a good dude, but I think unfortunately when you gotta represent that you're close to these,
it's just Baseball Brett, it's just a caller.
But what if that really is his boy and he's sitting back and he's a fan? He listens to media just like all of us do, and he's hearing this certain narrative get portrayed about his buddy Roman that's not being portrayed about Garrett Crochet, who's out kind of doing similar things, and you're just sitting back like, what the heck?
But Curtis made a good point. I mean, Crochet has already done some things.
Sure. You know,
the guy was a Cy Young finalist, arguably could have been a winner.
Right. We know that, he's got a track record.
Yeah.
We've seen that. And Roman Anthony, we don't really know who he is yet. We don't have enough of a sample size. I think that he's a dude who just is, he's frustrated that he's not getting better. The team is frustrated that he's not getting better. I think it's depressing when he's around the team, a team that's trying to do everything they can to keep their heads up and stay positive. And I think they're just like, man, you got to just figure it out down there.
It is a very weird situation, too, because he's so close to Meyer, who has struggled this year. So the two of them are often lumped together.
Yeah.
And when both of them come back, they'll be coming up against guys who have come up from AAA and done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And Anthony Seigler in particular is going to be a hard out. You know, it's hard to rip him out of the lineup right now when he's playing as well as he is. So will Meyer even get his job back when he's healthy?
That's going to be an interesting one. Out of all of them, that's going to be definitely interesting.
Especially if Story's back and playing well. So Story would be at short and playing every day because you're paying him to, unless you trade him. And then at second, it's Seigler. Meyer could go back there, but if Durbin and Seigler are playing well, eh.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I like Seigler. I like what I've seen so far.
And you got Wilson talking the new guys up.
Which I like. I like that a lot. Matter of fact, I think that he has shown... I mean, I know that some people are going to laugh seeing that he was like texting that he was going to fight people while he was, you know, ejected from the game on Instagram. But I think he's shown a pretty decent amount of leadership.
F around and find out.
That's right. You know what? That'd be kind of fun. Yeah, sure, you could punch me. I'll take all your money. That's what that guy was thinking on the other end. Yeah, Wilson Contreras? Absolutely, I'll take a punch. Give me your cash. All right, 617-779-7937. We are the drive home. It's brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And we are broadcasting from the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. We'll take your calls next. Ken, is this your band?
Well, no, we covered this song, though. The Surf Beat? What is this? Yeah, Surf Beat. We covered all the surf hits. The Surf Agents were out far and wide in the late 90s.
That's cool that you're in a surf rock band.
Oh, it's cool, but it was a money-making band for us. So we got decent money to play car shows and just like little graduation parties.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Teenage kids, like we were making cash.
I will never knock that. And first of all, that's a cool genre to go into. I actually really like surf rock a lot.
Because at that time, there was still enough counterculture, like, you know, there's still boomers alive now, but people that were like that kind of music in the 60s or whatever it was.
Sure.
So it appealed to a certain genre.
Oh, of course.
Which is fading, unfortunately.
Maybe it is. There's actually a really good punk rock band that does like a lot of surf covers called Agent Orange that I think you would really like. They were like back in the day when all those like, you know, Palo Peralta and Vision had all the skate videos, yeah. Like the Search for Animal Chin and stuff like that. I think they were the official Vision band, but they're, yeah, you would like them. They're a good band. All right. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here at 937 WEEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937, or you can go to the Odyssey app, press that little microphone button, and leave us a message, which we call your take grenades, and we are going to launch a few of them sons of bitches right now!
Incoming!
Yes, the take grenades brought to you by Milligan & Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to milliganandhiggins.com for a free consultation. What do you say, Stiz? Let's pull!
Hey, Rich, I was walking behind you at a Ghost concert, and I gotta say, that listener wasn't wrong. Looks like you lost your ass in a card game.
Oh, no, I'm just being nice now.
Hey, I will say, I haven't seen Ghost in 2 years. I started working out my butt exercises about a year and a half ago.
Why are you checking out Rich's ass?
So
come on.
You have not seen, all it takes is one snide comment, and I'm not kidding you, 3 days a week, I do this exercise specifically because I'm so... It got to be so bad, specifically so I had a nice butt.
And Ted said he can even help that. He's got a specific exercise category for you.
I don't even know if it's working. All I know is that, like, it's you know, apparently the criticism was that my legs go right into my back. And now I just put this weight on my stomach and I just thrust. I go into rooms where no one can see me. It's because it's very sexual. I just, like, get on my back and I just, like, thrust up and I do it. I have two songs that I do it that are each... 4.5 minutes long.
What? It's like the same workout tape for the...
Yep. Those. It's been the same song for... I switched it about 6 months ago. For 6 months, it's literally the same two songs. Because I know when it's done, I've done 9 minutes of thrust with a weight to make my butt freaking iron.
Like, turn around. Let's check that thing out.
No, you searched for two songs that were 4:30 each?
No, they were songs that I already had. And I just like, oh, wow, this is perfect. Because I knew that like 4.5 minutes meant 1,000. So I do like 2,000 of those things.
Well, that's interesting. Now, by the way, Stiz lost his car yesterday in the garage because he forgot where he parked.
Yep.
So Whoa. you you doing the same thing every day makes sense. And Stiz should do this, park in the same place with your car. Stiz.
I was thinking this. I absolutely was thinking this. That has never happened to me before in my life. That was the first time it's ever happened. I could not find my car in that garage for 30 minutes, went to the front desk, had to call the tow place. They're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
You just forgot where it was?
Yeah. You know, because sometimes I park on two, sometimes I park on three, sometimes on the far end, sometimes on the back end.
Just go three, pick a little section, and every day, just park there.
And what had happened was my fob must be dying, so I'm trying to make it the alarm go off, and it's just not working.
It's not working.
But here's the question. Why did it take so long? It's not that big of a parking lot.
It's five levels.
Yeah, but you can walk up and down. And,
yeah, that was rough.
That's pretty big. Like, it's a pretty big parking deck, and that would freak me out too. That happened to me once, but I realized my car was towed.
And we had to be at the Colonial at 7:30, so I was really freaking out.
That's right. Man, by the way, people were asking about that thing we saw. It's called Paranormal Activity Live. It's awesome. It's like going to it's going to a horror movie, but it's live on stage, which makes it 10 times more visceral. Like when it's right, it's the difference between watching a fight on TV and being at a fight. It just feels so much more real, and it's loud, and it's scary, and I actually swore out loud at one point because it freaked me out. It's like being in a live haunted house almost.
It's better than it's better than any haunted house I've ever been to, and I've been to Halloween Horror Nights many years. It's better.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's called Paranormal Activity Live, and it's at the Emerson Colonial Theater down in Boston. All right, let's go to the next take. Pull.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's nice to have everybody together. I just heard five inner nerds. No, there's four inner nerds and one straight up Stiz nerd. Also, when I called in last week, that water sound that Rich got a giggle out of, that was how hard it was raining. I hope you guys have a great day. And thanks for the updates on the paranormal.
You got it. It sounds like the water sound is still behind you, my friend.
I don't think of Stiz as a nerd. You think that? I
mean, no,
the guy's
no.
He's a rapper.
No, there's certain things that we can be nerdy about. Like, you know, listen, I'm not Joe Cool by any stretch of the imagination, but I actually love it when people are completely and totally unashamedly into a certain thing. And you can call it a nerd, you can call it, like, I love the fact that you do score sheets at baseball games.
Well, yeah, that's just part of my job.
No, it's not. You don't have to do that.
I have a whole book of my score sheets.
You have it in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. This is my current book. I do it on one page so I can keep track and flip back to May if I need to reference something during the show.
And I have a few $1,000 collection of horror Funko Pops. I spent $500 on a Freddy Krueger replica glove. I'm a nerd.
I don't get the Funko Pops. I don't get that.
I'm a horror nerd.
He's definitely a nerd. You should hear the conversations between him and Nick when we do the crossover here. It's unbelievable.
Stiz, best horror movie of all time.
I'm Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm a Fredhead.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Now, do you consider Alien a horror movie?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I do not consider Aliens. Aliens is an action movie. Alien is a horror movie.
It is so good, and it holds up. I just watched it a couple weeks ago with my wife and daughter, and it's good. It's like it stands the test of time.
Yep.
If that's a horror movie, I like it, and it's number one.
Here's the question. Is Seven a horror movie?
It's a thriller.
Thriller?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a horror movie. It's not gross enough. I mean, there's some gross scenes. Along the same lines as Alien, The Thing still holds up. The one with Kurt Russell?
I've never seen that.
Oh, Stiz!
I know.
You're a purist, and you've never seen The Thing?
All right, I'll watch it this week.
Don't read anything about it. Honestly, don't read. Then you'll want to read everything about it. Yeah, you got to see The Thing. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. How have you not seen The Thing? You're like horror guy.
I know.
You got a tattoo of Freddy Krueger on your arm.
I know.
All right, there you go. Well, now you got your assignment. Oh, let's go to the next one.
Ken, give me a break. There's no drama. We're moving on from the nonsense. They're not together anymore. Move on. He's a leader. Talks about the team. Talks about Jalen. Hits all the notes. He leads by example. He doesn't pound his chest and yell like half of Boston wants him to, like Jalen Brown, because he's an adult. He's the leader of the Celtics. Always has been the leader of the Celtics. Enough with the drama.
He was calling you like a drama monger, my friend.
Me or Ted? I thought he said Ted there.
Oh, he said Ted?
Maybe he meant me.
Okay, maybe he meant you. Because you were the one who was like dealing the drama, right?
I think there will be. See, these two are not like open drama. It's behind the scenes drama. So it would be shocking if that came bubbling to the surface, but they do play six times. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's going to be an incident during one of these games. Don't you think there's a foot stomp unlucky or there's something going on between these two?
No.
There is drama. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Ted made the best point this morning. Maybe it was you, Stiz, or this afternoon. I'm still spooked out from the Paranormal Activity Live. But he said, all right, everyone is expecting Jason Tatum to say all these nice things about Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown hadn't said one nice word about Jason Tatum since all this has been done. He's been leaving him out of all of the thank yous, all of the hey, blah, blah. At least Jason Tatum is mentioning Jaylen by name. At least he went and did a Times New Roman kind of phone it in Instagram post. And at least last night on the red carpet, he talked about him. Jaylen's been all over the place on his Twitch stream. And I don't think he's mentioned Tatum's name once.
He mentioned it on the Twitch stream before he was traded, but it was like sixth in a line of guys that he was happy to have played with that year. So he got it in there. But, yeah, it's not much.
All right. Well, there you go. 617-779-7937. The most important thing this show has ever done, and it's something that our own Dale Ordway has been working on for the entire show. I told him I didn't want to listen to it because I wanted to be surprised.
Oh, boy.
Our own Jackson in the other room. It's the most if you're ready for some, like, hard news, Marconi-winning, groundbreaking radio, it's coming next. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, Teddy J, 617-779-7937. Says you're getting some suggestions on the text for good horror movies. You're the horror guy, but by the way, another one. Have you seen The Descent?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, good. All right.
Now, what about Night of the Living Dead? You consider that horror?
Hell yeah. That's a classic.
That's like OG.
Yeah, okay. That's a great one. Yeah. Something about those old movies, like ones that are made for no money, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is terrifying because apparently the actors actually got hurt on the set. Like,
oh, they got messed up.
Yeah, they got pretty messed up. That's one that I don't even watch anymore. I saw that one time and I'm like, that's it. Don't need to see that again. I'm not a big fan of slasher movies. I'm not, but I like scary movies. I do. Like Midsommar. That was another great one. Very good movie. All right. You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, the sports and the basketballs and the baseballs and the soccer balls. And one thing that I never want to do because I kind of want, you know, you're driving home and you've had a tough day at work. I kind of want this to be a place where you can go and kind of forget about problems and forget about the real world for a while. And I never thought that I would be someone who would really want to talk too much about politics on the show. But unfortunately, there is something that was very important that happened in U.S. politics yesterday, and it needs to be discussed. And that is that Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer farted while speaking on the House floor.
Oh, this is terrific.
I think this needs to be investigated. You know, in an old life, I used to have fart court.
Yeah,
where we would judge that. There is judge needed for this.
You have the rights to that.
Maybe I do. I'm not quite sure. But there doesn't need to be any kind of ruling. This is a fart, and it's from old ass Chuck Schumer. And once again, I promise I wouldn't talk politics, but I couldn't. This one is too important to America.
No matter what side of the aisle you're on, this is very, very important.
It is. All right. So, let's let her rip.
Now on Iran and the NDAA. When all the Trump administration can say about his disastrous war with Iran is that Vietnam was worse.
All right, stop. You know what, too? That's like he's so old, that's just like dropping apples on the floor. Like that stuff.
Did he chuckle afterwards?
No,
he did chuckle. Yes, he did. Does.
Did he chuckle?
You can see it in his face. He chuckled a little tiny bit.
See, I don't know about that, but people were reporting.
Let me hear that again.
Now on Iran and the NDAA. When all the Trump administration
was a definite chuckle.
He definitely
might
chuckled.
Be right.
You ever? Did your grandpa ever fart? You ever had like around an old person where they just like talk like it has nothing?
Yeah,
like, it happens so much. It sounds like a zipper unzipping. Let me hear that again.
It's a ripper unripping.
Right. It's like you're opening up a bag of chips. Let me hear that again. Or you're on like one of those plastic couches and you're moving around. All I know is that Jackson, I've seen him, like the look on his face, and he's been, you know, you know, like the keyboardist of Bon Jovi, you just see like hands all over the place.
With
he's
the
got
14 hair.
Keyboards. Yeah. I've been watching Jackson, our own Dale Ordway in the other room, and he has been doing something with his fingers. Can I kind of hear what you have been doing, sir? At least a little sample of what you may have been.
Thank you.
I can't tell you how much I love the fact that this is my job.
Jaws performed by Chuck Schumer's fart.
Oh. Excellent. That's
sad, but pew.
No sleep till.
Jackson, you are the Rick Rubin of farts.
I have a gift in a wheelhouse, and this just so happens to be it. I never made it in the music industry like Surf Ken over there, but this is my wheelhouse. Oh,
we'll need to take a shot. Got a little obsessive.
I like how in that one, after the drum roll, you're just like, I'm just going to throw a fart right on top of him singing. It has nothing to do with the song. It's just going right on top of it. Oh, well, very good, Jackson. I guess. Oh.
No, that's it. That's it.
How many of these did you make?
That was a six pack.
Yeah, there were some that didn't make the cut, but then.
You don't say.
I did a Rammstein one that didn't quite work out.
Oh, really? All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that was. I can't believe you made five of those. Honestly, how many of these did you have? You been doing this all show?
I wondered where you went.
I have been doing it all show.
If you're listening and you wonder why there's no podcast yet posted,
listen. All I know is this is.
It's priorities, man.
Just do me a favor. I need you to send this to the Marconis. I need you to take the last 5 minutes and wrap it up. And I think that is honestly the finest moment. All right. So we have. It's Pujost. All right. You gotta give credit where credit's due.
It's better than the Nightingale interview, I can tell you that.
Dale Ordway, that was fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I would even put that on par with your Hey Hooters song, which I don't think survived the boom.
Come on.
Hey Hooters is your Hey Jude. Sweet Lord.
It was also lost in the move. We need to find that.
Can I hear Sad But Poo one more time? I think that was my favorite out of all, because I did not expect that at all. I think it was the second one that we did. It was number two. Okay. All right. I just saw it just like stops. All right. There we go. Chuck Schumer, fantastic. Thank you for giving us that moment. Christian Arcan, how is it going?
Doing great. Great end there, because I got to tell you, you saying Larry Bird's not beloved in Boston, that was another thing that had me yelling at my radio on the way.
You did say that. I said that he is not the most beloved.
Not most beloved, but you were like, yeah, people wouldn't even talk about Larry Bird. Larry Bird's still very much beloved.
He would not be top, and
none of you stopped him either, by the way.
I said that if you asked, you kind of agreed with him.
I put him on my poll.
I said if you asked 10 people on the street, no one would say Larry Bird in their top three.
I don't know about that. No. What street are we talking here?
I guarantee it would be Brady, it would be Ortiz, and it would be like Gronk.
Gronk over Bird?
Yeah. Bird's getting 19% of the vote. Gronk or Edelman, 4%. So to Arcand's point, Bird is right now more beloved than
Gronk.
He
has a lot
of
staying power, like on TikTok. You know, there's a lot of TikToks about Larry Bird and all these old players talking about, oh, Bird was the best trash talker ever. Those are like big algorithm like hits on TikTok.
I'm telling you, out of the text, nobody was saying Bird. They were saying, Pedro was a big one.
Oh, Pedro's a good one.
Julian Edelman, people are saying Gronk is all over the place. Bork is another one as well. Mm. I just think that Larry Bird, and once again, it's a difference between best player and beloved player.
Right.
And I think to be beloved, you've
got to
be
Larry Bird night. There was at the Garden. There was a Larry Bird night, and it was just about him. Magic was there. Everybody came out and spoke. Yes, he did.
It's probably an age thing to it, too, right?
Yeah,
Christian?
Probably. Yeah, I would agree with that. But also, Bird in the Pitino years went and got a job with the Pacers, and they kept him around. They kept him in the front office. Like, the Boston didn't have a chance. They went with Pitino. That was their choice.
All right. Well, and also you were screaming at the radio at
I crushed that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I crushed that. I want to go against
Ben. Yeah,
yeah,
but
point.
See, he's saying this from the
I am. No,
car.
I know, I
mean,
but
you,
I was.
You got to get in here under the lights and we can prove it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like Drake May.
I'm ready.
That's right. Prove it under the big lights like Drake May. Make sure you. And the pressure's on. It's tough. It's tough when the pressure
is
on.
Well, okay, that guy didn't get any.
Yeah. The last 2 days
it was 0 for 7. It was ridiculous.
He did go over 5. All right. What do you got going on, Christian?
Sean McAdam joining the show at 8:30. Another big Red Sox night. We'll talk a lot of Patriots. John Henry speaking to the media, kind of. So we'll have stuff on that. And all the other bells and whistles. We'll do our top 5 trade targets for the deadline and a bunch of other stuff. And a lot of this.
I do like how when you did In the Air Tonight, you just randomly threw farts over Phil Collins singing. It wasn't even with the music. It was just like, damn it, I know what the people want. Okay.
Well, I couldn't, you know, he says I've been feeling coming, so I had, you know, you can't.
So he's talking about his fart.
Yeah, yeah, it's a whole narrative I'm trying to make here.
That's right. It's Phil Collins singing about Chuck Schumer's fart. He could feel it coming the entire time. All right, everybody.
And it was in the air.
Yeah, it was definitely in the air. Never been a prouder moment in my. You know what, though? I will say legitimately, well done, Jackson.
Nice job,
well done.
You're our Weird Al Yankovic.
All right, everybody. Have yourself a fantastic evening. Ken, I am so jealous. You are seeing the Odyssey tonight.
In 15 minutes, I'm seeing it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to go. I expect a full review tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Everybody, have yourself a fantastic Thursday night. Tomorrow, the return, doubleheader. Your Boston Red Sox, you can hear it right here on 93.7 WEEI. Man, how exciting is this? You got a team that's actually playing well.
Here we go.
It'll help our time slot, baby. Come on, all you 25-54. Let's go, everybody. Have yourself a fantastic evening. Christian Arcand is next. We love you. Bye.